We're expecting the latest unemployment figures this Friday, but you really don't need to get the unemployment figures in order to know that millions of Americans are still out of work. They've been laid off, lost their jobs one way or another, still looking for work. And journalist and documentary filmmaker D.W. Gibson wanted to actually get the stories behind the numbers and transform that number into an actual representation of lives. He was inspired by author and historian Studs Terkel, who, of course, wrote the famous book Working. Gibson then set off on a summer road trip from Orange County, California, my hometown, to New York City, where I live now. From the Pacific to the Atlantic, he interviewed dozens of Americans who found themselves out of work over the past 5 years.
I kind of boisterously, sprung into the room saying, "What, are you going to fire me?" I'm sure I was just kind of, I was depressed. I remember feeling quieter than normal. It chokes me up now to think about it.
D.W. Gibson's project has resulted in a book called Not Working and an upcoming documentary as well with the same name. And he joins us in the studio. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
The inspiration behind this was Studs Terkel. But why now? I mean, did you feel as though we weren't getting the real picture on what it's like to be unemployed?
I feel like it had been many years since we'd gotten the real picture. And the idea arose when a good friend of mine told me his story of being laid off. And it had all these familiar motifs, packing up a box to leave the office, going into the boss's office. But it had all these details that brought it to life. Couldn't take the box home until security went through it. Comforting the person who was giving him the news that he was being laid off. And all those details, hearing my friend's story really motivated me to go out and hear some other stories.
And in fact, it seems like a lot of the people that you spoke to felt the same way, as though they'd been turned into numbers.
You're looking too much on the numbers and the metrics and Excel spreadsheet and forgetting the fact that that little number that you see on, you know, column A, row 7, is an actual person with a wife, with a kid, with a car payment, with a mortgage.
And one thing, the impression I got reading the book was that there is no one story. There is no experience of being unemployed.
No, there are threads that run throughout, but everyone has their own circumstances, to be sure, yeah.
So tell me about one of the characters that you met that really struck you as kind of a surprising experience with being laid off.
I think Randy Badman in DeWitt, Nebraska, a town of 572 people that was centered around a plant that had closed down. And the fact that the loss of that plant wasn't about the loss of jobs, but it was about the decimation of a community. I mean, virtually the entire town worked there, and virtually the entire town was put out of work. So what happens after that? Other amenities pull out, grocery store pulls out, other businesses pull out, and you really see a community hollowed out. And the breadth of that effect of the layoffs was what really, really surprised me.
But let's talk about some of these threads that you're talking about that sort of run through these very individual experiences. You know, one of the stories that really struck me was, you remember the HR exec that had spent her career laying people off? And
absolutely.
Then she gets laid off, and that really changes her.
Yeah, I spoke to a few. There's one HR exec who had laid off 200 people herself in one day, and then she went upstairs and got laid off. Another HR exec worked for a bank for 22 years, as she put it, making bad news sound like good news. She was laid off through an email attachment, nothing in the body of the email, but an attachment, essentially rendering the candy coating she had been doing for years for the company useless.
But it changes these people's lives. I mean, suddenly it's not just about losing a job or how they're treated by their boss. It becomes something kind of existential, right?
Oh, positively. You know, I sort of set out expecting all the conversations to be about foreclosures and money and these concerns. And indeed, those are real concerns all over the place. But at the end of the day, the experience is about losing your sense of identity, about losing dignity, about that experience of getting up in the morning and putting on your clothes and having nowhere to go.
And what is it? What did you learn about America? I mean, when you think about looking back to the Great Depression, some of the great literature and some of the great documentary films and photos that came out of that gave us a picture of our nation that was very different than the sort of victorious go-get-em America. What picture is emerging now of the country?
I think the picture that I got on the whole, there are two sort of competing forces. I think that the first is our depression in economic terms and in sort of moral and emotional terms. The second half of that is character, strength of character, and people's will and determination and hunger to go back to work and to reinvent themselves. And those two things are battling it out as far as I can see now, the strength of character and the depression.
So tell me the story of somebody who kind of embodied that for you.
I think of Nancy Lee in Indianapolis, who was a construction project manager for many years and got laid off and was just really demoralized about it. You know, spent a month by her own account in bed, you know, not wanting to go out. Spent several months sort of regathering herself, rediscovered her love for jewelry making, went into metalsmithing and is now making her own jewelry and is doing a really good job of it.
We're speaking with D.W. Gibson. He's the creator of Not Working. It's an oral history project of sorts about unemployed Americans. It's both a book and an upcoming documentary. And certainly we want to collect your stories as we have been. We want to get your stories of being unemployed, being laid off at 8778-MY-TAKE, or you can post your comment at thetakeaway.org. You know, have you been laid off?
I was laid off once, yes, in college, yes.
And was it the same kind of experience as the experience of those you interviewed?
You know what stands out for me is it was a job that was so small in the grand scale of things, and my attention was focused on my studies at that time, and I could make it work if I didn't have that sort of paltry minimum wage job, but it didn't do anything to mitigate the sense of shame and the isolation that I felt and experienced. And that's so strange because it was a job that was inconsequential in the long run of my life. But it didn't mitigate the emotional content of it at all.
Because one of the things that we hear from a lot of people when they call into us with their stories is very similar to what you seem to have heard from a lot of people. This idea that they felt they'd earned better, that they had reached a point in their life where they deserved stability and safety, and that they now felt as though they were not safe anymore. Is that something you heard?
Positively. Dominic Mercado in Kansas City worked for over 30 years for a company and talked about always being in control, always being able to manage a situation. And he felt like after he lost his job and applied for 290 positions and hadn't heard anything, losing that sense of control and having his loyalty to the company over 30 years sort of come back to haunt him, because newer employers, younger employers are looking for someone who hops around every 2 or 3 or 5 years.
And do most people blame someone?
That's a very good question. A lot of people do blame someone, but very often, I can tell you this, they don't blame the person who delivered the news. Very often, the person who makes the decision to have layoffs is very rarely the individual who delivers the news. That proximity is diminished. That human contact is quite diminished.
But who do they blame? Are they blaming the bosses of their country, a company? Are they blaming a president? Are they blaming a political figure?
In terms of politics, I think, and I talk to people who espouse political beliefs across the spectrum, in my estimation, it really wasn't about blaming a political party. It was really about blaming a political system that certainly seems to be wrestling with capitalism. I think that sort of wrestle between democracy and capitalism that people are identifying and hoping that democracy triumphs.
So you went into this project hoping to find out what?
I went into this project hoping to let the people who experienced this terrible epidemic speak for themselves, and to get pundits out of the way and get stats out of the way, and see the nuance of people telling their story when we were able to record them with cameras and hear their own voices. And I think that unfiltered experience is what I was looking for and what I got.
And that unfiltered experience, I mean, if you had to describe the experience of being unemployed, what does it look like? What does it sound like?
It is on the one hand utterly loyal, utterly demoralizing and lonely. But on the other hand, there's this element that Doug Messenger, a laid-off draftsman in West Des Moines, Iowa, told me about, where he had taken a job delivering papers at 2:30 in the morning, working at a grocery store and working at a hardware store, three jobs. And he talked about how people see him in those different places, and they ask him about a situation. And then they come back and they say, you know what, I lost my job too. And he said, it doesn't make me feel better to hear that, but it doesn't make me feel good to hear that. But it makes me feel better knowing that I'm not in the boat rowing all alone. And so there's that strange juxtaposition of that loneliness and that isolation that you initially feel. But I think through exchanging stories, I hope through exchanging stories, there's a sense of community.
And that exchange of stories actually takes place in your project. D.W. Gibson is the creator of Not Working. It's an oral history project. It's a book and an upcoming documentary as well. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me here.